Welcome to PCMC. I am Mike Buongiorno. With me today in the basement of toys.
Yeah, it certainly is.
Is Mr. Vin Forte. You know him as the host of Anytime with Vin Forte.
Yeah.
A podcast available everywhere podcasts are available.
On the iTunes, on the Stitcher, on the internet. Just Google it. Use the Google.
Use it. He's a podcaster. He's a comedy writer. But most importantly, he's a man child.
As we all are.
As we all are.
You got a big Mr. Poopy Butthole in the corner. And
that was made by that Mr. Poopy Butthole I got at the Newdorf Comic Con. It was made by a 13-year-old crafts child. She was very proud of that.
As she should be.
And I looked her mother right in there and I said, "You got a good kid." So, Vin, thank you for being here. It's nice to see you again. How have you been?
I've been very good. It's good to have a full-time job again.
Good for you.
Which is something I had lacked for about a year.
Isn't money great?
Money is good. Don't let anyone tell you that, like, oh, it's not all about the money. Well, it's kind of all about the money.
Yeah. Money can buy happiness.
Yeah. But only look at this room we're in right now.
I know. Look at all this plastic. Look at all this. The other day I went looking for the new... There's a new Doctor Who Barbie. Special edition Barbie. Yeah.
I'm sure that upset all the Red Pill rioters.
Oh, I'm sure. Oh, please. We'll get to that. All right. So, you know what we should do? We should go to the news. So, Mr. J.J. Abrams is in the market for what they're calling a mega deal. Are you aware of this?
What?
Well, first of all, do you know what a mega deal is?
No, I'm assuming it's bigger than a deal.
Well, context clues have served you right. J.J. Abrams seeks a mega deal with studios to do whatever the heck he wants.
Oh, that's good. That's always good when we can get more people buying into monopolies.
Basically, he wants a deal that would give him power to do basically whatever he wants. He wants a deal that, like, will involve TV, movies, everything. Theme park.
He kinda... Not limited to Star Wars, though. Just, like, whatever he wants?
Yeah, whatever he wants. He wants a specific number of guaranteed slots on a studio's slate of movies. He kind of just wants... Well, you know, it's smart, though. He's huge. He's made some amazing, huge properties. And he wants one of these entities like Netflix or a studio or HBO to come along and go, "Hey, here's a sign on the dotted line and you can do whatever the fuck you want."
But, like, what's his track record really? Like, let's go through it, because...
Well,
I feel like his track record is a little inflated.
Well, you've got Regarding Henry.
Yes.
No, what's his real track record? Well, Lost, Alias on TV, Felicity on TV, Star Trek, the new three Star Trek, although he didn't direct the third one.
But, like, isn't his running theme, though, that, like, he's an idea man where, like, he's got the... He'll start the project off.
The mystery box.
Yeah, he's like, it's a mystery.
I think that's
he
what
gotta
he wants,
open
though.
The box. And then, like, but then it's like, "Hey, JJ, what's actually in the box?" It's like, and he's, like, about to jump on a train. He's like, "Hey, you figure that out."
Right. Well, I think that's what he wants. I don't think this mega deal is an auteurist thing. I think it's get a lot of stakes in the fire going, you know? Like,
yeah.
We'll make a show, I'll direct the pilot, and then
A million different things. Like, every once in a while, I'll see, like, something upcoming on Hulu. And it'll be like, "From producer J.J. Abrams." It's like, what? Nobody told me he was doing this. When did this come out?
He works hard, Vin. Don't sleep on J.J. Abrams. I love Cloverfield and Cloverfield 10 Cloverfield Lane.
Yeah.
I haven't seen the third one.
I need to see the third one.
Well, I know it wasn't made as a Cloverfield movie, and then they just, like, slapped that name on. So, yeah. And he's making episode 9.
Yep. That's certainly a thing he's doing.
So, a mega deal. Do you think he deserves a mega deal?
I don't know. I don't know if anyone deserves a mega deal. I don't know. Because at that point, it's like, just have your own studio.
Yeah. Yeah, why not? Open your when
even like as another studio, if you're gonna give him the mega deal, now you're putting all your eggs in one basket.
No, I was just thinking about at what point do we get a single individual like an auteur who starts their own streaming service? Like, I'm Quentin Tarantino, and here's the Quentin Tarantino stream service.
You know what? There's kind of that with the Robert Rodriguez El Rey network.
That's true. Wait, but that's not streaming, though, is it?
That's not streaming.
Not yet.
Not yet. But...
yeah, that's true.
I don't know. Like, can we talk about the auteur theory for a second?
Sure.
The auteur theory is bullshit.
I agree.
It's like there's so many people that go into making a movie.
Right.
Like, you... like if
hundreds of people, so many decisions.
Yeah, like, if you take... I don't know. Let's go with Quentin Tarantino. But then you also take away all the other things that make a Quentin Tarantino movie, like his collaborators, the people he chooses to do music with, the cinematographers.
He had that same editor for years, and then she passed away, and his movies haven't been as good since.
Yeah.
She was a big part of it.
Yeah.
Costume, production design, music. Like, the thing about the auteur theory is it was put in place as a way for the intelligentsia to convince the fine art world to consider movies as art, yeah, instead of just industry.
It's one man's vision.
Right, because they figure you can't have art without an artist. But now it just serves to, you know, undercredit all these people that work so hard.
Yeah, and there's so many projects where, especially the cinematography, like, makes those projects. Like, it's
well, absolutely,
it's almost like out of the director's hands.
Yeah,
like, people always go, "Oh, this looks so great. The director did a really good job." It's like, well, maybe they had a big hand in that, but there are at least, like, you know, 10 other people that probably contributed more to,
yeah,
how much you love this thing.
Right, the DP's job is to fucking work the camera.
Yeah.
And people don't give them that much credit. Or, you know, DPs get some credit with some real film nerds, but, you know, casting people never get credit. Costume people rarely ever get credit.
Yeah, costume people, aren't they, like, relegated to those, like, non-Oscars?
Oh, yeah, the Sunday afternoon, not on TV Oscars. Yeah, I think they are. And I know casting doesn't even get an Oscar.
No.
But think about how important casting is. Austin Powers 4.
Oh, man. What took so long? Why the holdup?
I don't know.
Do the Love Guru first?
I don't know. It is interesting that he put it to bed and then was like, it's
did
time,
he know,
baby.
Was it his decision to put it to bed?
I don't know. I bet that last one, that third one, made money. I bet if he wanted to keep doing them every 2 years, who was it? Paramount? Whoever was involved with it would have been like, sure, let's do it.
I mean, I do remember at the time when Goldmember came out that there were rumors of, like, oh, he's ramping up a fourth one.
Of course. I hated the third one.
Yeah, the
first one I thought was really funny, really clever.
First one was really clever. Two had its moments,
but was not necessarily good.
Yeah, it felt very much like we're taking all the ideas that we couldn't fit into the first one.
Right.
So, like, some of it worked, some of it didn't work. It had, like, decent enough, like, character development, which you wouldn't have expected from a series like that.
Right, right.
But then the third one, like, if you go back and watch it now, it's like, these are the exact same jokes. And, like, who needs that Osborne's cameo?
Oh, God.
Like, a lot of time-sensitive bullshit in that movie.
You know what's really sad? There's an Ozzy Osbourne cameo in the 2016 Ghostbusters.
Yeah.
Just one of the many reasons that movie's a giant disappointment. So, are you excited? You can't wait for the pre-sale tickets? I mean, will I see it?
But here's the question I want to know, is that is there going to be this nostalgia from people our age? Like, oh my God, they're making another Austin Powers.
Yes, or people a little bit younger. People who liked 3.
Yes.
I feel like if you were not happy with 2 and 3... you're not going to be thrilled by 4. But if you were young and you loved all 3 and they were your favorite fucking DVDs and now there's more, you'll be so excited.
I feel like it's going to be the same sort of reception that Dumb and Dumber 2 got.
You mean like a polite ticket sale? Like, kind sir, I will buy a ticket to this motion picture,
yeah,
out of respect.
Yeah, and like maybe it's been long enough that they've ruminated on a couple decent ideas.
I forgot about that movie as I walked to my car.
I haven't seen it, but from people I know who did, they said it wasn't bad. It was just like inoffensive.
It wasn't bad. It was kind of bad.
But it was like the worst kind of bad, where it was just like,
It was mediocre for something that took so long. For something that took 20 years, it could have been. It felt like it had been made a year after the original.
Yeah, and people forget that original movie. The reason it still works today is because, like, that script had gotten so many passes because it was like legendary. Like passes by the original.
Right, they'd hang out and read it together at parties, and it was just constantly being worked on and punched up and workshopped.
Yeah.
Which is why the first script was so strong.
And then they did that prequel.
Which the Farrelly Brothers had nothing to do with.
Yeah.
When Harry met Lloyd. Dumb and Dumberer?
Yeah.
Dumb and Dumberer.
Yeah, they blew the good pun on,
on the
prequel. But it did have Bob Saget.
So, you can't go wrong with that. Yeah. Wait, I think he directed it, or am I wrong?
Did he direct it? I wouldn't be shocked.
Speaking of auteurs. Once Upon a Deadpool, the PG-13 version of Deadpool 2, starring Fred Savage in a wraparound on the original footage, will be out from December 12th to December 24th. For every ticket sold, $1 goes to the Fuck Cancer charity, which they're renaming Fudge Cancer.
See, that's all well and... This is one of those weird situations where it's like, that's all well and good. If they're going to do a PG-13 version of Deadpool, like, this is all exactly the way they should do it. But it does raise the question of, like, is this them doing the trial run?
Yes, it is.
For doing the PG-13 Deadpool.
This is definitely... The Disney deal is going to go through. Disney will own Deadpool.
Has it gone through yet? People, like, I don't have a clear gauge on, like...
It actually had... People think it's happened. It actually hasn't happened yet.
Yeah.
But it's sort of like
it's
the wheels are in motion. It's going to happen.
Yeah.
This is definitely them... This is definitely Disney going, can we prove that people will see Deadpool if he's not R?
But, like, that's... Because of course they will, but they're taking away the wrong lesson.
Right. You know what they might do, which they've been doing for years in mainstream movies, is they might be happy going, here's your PG-13 theatrical, and here's your hard R Blu-ray.
Yeah, but that never works because it was never the intent to do an R-rated movie.
Right. Well, you got to... Ryan Reynolds is the producer, so I don't know how much he owns of it, but, you know, we'll see.
I mean, when Disney backs that truck up.
I know. And just money falls into a pool.
I mean, let's not forget, Ryan Reynolds is also the person annoying everyone on YouTube right now with those ads for that mobile game he's advertising.
I love that, though, because it's the most he's ever really been involved with the rest of Marvel. are you going to see it?
Maybe I'll see it. It feels festive enough that I could write it off as like a holiday thing.
What if it makes a crazy amount of money, and then suddenly it's like, Saw PG-13 version.
Like, that's going to be the new trend?
Like, yeah, like, just old horrible movies made in 3D. Hostel, PG-13 movie.
Oh, my God. I would love a lesser version of Hostel. I hated those movies.
What's that Pier Paolo Pasolino movie that's like, it's like one of the most disgusting movies ever? It's like Salo.
Oh, Salo, 130 Days in Sodom?
Yeah. PG-13!
The one where they, like, break people's ribs and eat shit?
Yeah. Yeah.
Or what was it, a Serbian film?
A Serbian, oh God.
PG-13 Serbian film?
Guys, if you're listening to this podcast and you don't know about a Serbian film...
Good.
Maybe Google the Wikipedia page, but I wouldn't suggest seeing it.
Yeah, I would go to Wikipedia. Like, don't even risk Googling it. Like,
yeah, go actually buy a burner phone. No, they don't have burner smartphones.
Yeah,
go to
your library.
Yeah,
use their Wi-Fi.
Yeah, exactly.
look up a Serbian film.
Yeah, and then leave the library very quickly.
Yeah, make sure you close the tab.
Yeah, because they're getting shut down.
Yeah, goodbye to that library.
Mm-hmm. Rumor alert, take this with a grain of salt. We know for sure that Matt Smith is going to be in Star Wars Episode 9. But the rumor buzzing through the interwebs this week is that he'll be playing a young Palpatine.
What?
Yeah.
What?
Now, if you recall, Palpatine died at the end of...
Or is this going to be one of his many clones that they're going to bring in from the Legends line?
Oh, that would be insane. But here's my thing. Doesn't he look like... Just looking at Matt Smith, don't you think he would be better as a young Snoke?
Yeah.
He kind of looks like Snoke.
I don't know what they're doing. I almost, like, refuse to speculate on Star Wars stuff anymore because it's always...
Like, well, you're on PCMC right now.
I know.
So you better start speculating.
I know. But it's like when Last Jedi was about to come out, everyone was like, this is going to happen. No, this is going to happen. And then literally none of it happened.
Oh, yeah. And then they killed Snoke. It's all a sort of, you know, when nerds get together and they do this, it's all just sort of an imaginative play. Because it never works out the way you think it is. Same thing with Doctor Who.
Right, but then the thing you wanted doesn't happen, well, and if, then you get upset. Because it's
well,
like,
if you're
oh,
one of those
happen.
People, yeah. I don't ever get upset.
Right.
Because I knew that my idea was fucking my idea. And,
yeah.
Because in the end, what nerds always do is they want some reference to something from the past where true artists want to give you something new.
Right.
Well... I see, my worry with Episode 9 is that J.J. will pander to the audience and kind of undo everything Rian Johnson did. And be like, yeah, but Rey's parents are actually Yoda and Yaddle.
Like, I guess, where are we going with this franchise?
I don't know.
What's going on? Because they're saying, okay, well, J.J.'s going to take over the next one. But the next one's supposed to be the last one.
Right.
So, like, what are they going to wrap stuff up? Are they going to say, oh, there's actually more? Go here.
Supposedly, like... he wants Episode 9 to be the end of the entire series. And rumors say that there are scenes that take place on, like, Naboo and Tatooine.
Mm-hmm.
And that it'll have a feeling of this is the end of all of the Skywalker saga.
But, like, that's also a lot of world building, then, that they... should have had in place in Last Jedi. But the problem is, and I'm not blaming Rian Johnson for this, is that I think we all assumed going into these movies that they had a blueprint,
right?
They knew the basics of what was going to happen, and they were going to plug in directors and writers to flesh it out. And it turns out what actually happened was J.J. Abrams made a movie and then handed the baton off to Rian Johnson.
Right, it's
it
a baton
like,
race.
Now you make a movie.
Right, it's literally a baton race. It's yeah. Like they're kind of trying to connect one another, but obviously with what Rian Johnson did, or Rian, usually I hear Rian, he kind of did whatever the fuck he wanted, which I like. But I don't know. I don't think Matt Smith is going to be playing a young Sheev Palpatine. That's right, listeners. I know Emperor Palpatine's first name. You're listening to Pop Culture Man Children. Here's a weird fucking story. Night of the Living Dead Part 2.
Okay.
So you might go, well, isn't that Dawn of the Dead or Return of the Living Dead?
Yeah.
Because, and we're going to talk later on in segment 2 about franchises that make no fucking sense. And
okay.
Night of the Living Dead is certainly one of them.
Yeah.
This is being made by Sci-Fi, the network. So it's
oh,
a TV movie.
Good.
But it's based on a script by John Russo and George Romero, who wrote the original Night of the Living Dead. And then they split up, and Romero did Dawn, and Russo did Return of. But it's an original script that they never produced, so they're calling it Night of the Living Dead 2.
This smacks of someone died, and now we have the rights to a bunch of shit. And...
yeah. But it's a series that has such fucked up continuity. It's not like it can't really sully anything. Breaking Bad movie.
Yeah.
What the fuck is this?
I don't know how to feel about this. I mean, I
but what does that even mean? Because, spoiler alert,
Jesse,
the protagonist died.
Well, yes. And he died. He's definitely dead. But Jesse Pinkman is on the run right now.
Do you want a Jesse Pinkman film? What
you
about
what?
A Saul film?
Well, you know what? And I was going to bring up Saul because had they ended Breaking Bad and not done Better Call Saul, I would have heard this news about the Jesse Pinkman movie and been like, I don't like this.
Yeah.
But based on them going back to the well and Better Call Saul being really, really good, I will give them the benefit of the doubt on this movie.
Okay. It might be a made-for-AMC movie.
That would be a first. So I don't know how to feel about that either. Like,
because AMC's also going to be making a bunch of... They said they're going to be making a bunch of Walking Dead TV movies as well. So I don't know what they're getting into. So I never watched Breaking Bad either. I watched the first three episodes. I know that it's great. Don't fucking tweet at me, okay? I just don't have time for everything.
You should make time for Breaking Bad. It's coming from me, who, like, it's very hard for me to sit down and, like, commit to watching an entire series.
Yeah,
and I'll admit this, like, it takes a couple episodes to get going. But the thing you have to remember, that's unlike all, you know, most other shows in that same genre, is that they have a plan. It's a 5-season plan, and they successfully executed it and then stopped it.
Here's the thing with me. I feel like kind of douche chills when the protagonist of my show or movie is like made a fool out of. And like, I don't, like, I've heard things that happen in the show that I'm like, ooh, I don't know. I'm uncomfortable just hearing that. I don't want to watch that.
What?
Like, doesn't his wife cheat on him at some point? I don't want to deal with that.
Not really. They just kind of get estranged. Like, she doesn't.
Oh, really? I don't know. I don't know. Maybe I'll watch it. First, that's all it took. First, I've got to watch the 70 seasons of Supernatural.
Yeah, that's a show that I've always said I was going to get into, and then I just look at how many episodes there are.
Exactly.
It's like, I can't.
Because when I look at the Venn diagram of what people who are into Supernatural are into, it's all shit that I'm into. But then it's like, it seems like a Mount Everest of...
I feel like someone's told me before that the first, like, 4 seasons have a single arc.
Yeah.
And then, like, it sort of goes in the woods for a couple seasons, and then comes out. So it's like, I wonder if I can just, like, watch the first couple seasons and then just, like, be done with it.
I think they're seriously on, like, season 11 now.
They're on, like, season 13, I think.
Jesus.
They just did a Scooby-Doo episode.
So, speaking of, you know who else just did a Scooby-Doo episode? Pop Culture Man Children. Check us out on iTunes, Stitcher, Spotify, and Apple Music. We have a name for the Disney streaming service. It's Disney Plus.
Okay.
With a plus sign. Disney Plus. And I don't know who asked for this. We're going to get a live action Star Wars series starring Cassian Andor, the character from Rogue One.
Okay.
That's Diego Luna's character from Rogue One.
You mean the boring guy?
Yeah, the guy.
Oh, great, great.
Yeah, I don't know. There are some Rogue One heads out there. Like, my dad, oddly, like, loves Rogue One. Some people love it. To me, of the 4 new ones, it's the one I like the least. Because I love Solo. I unabashedly love Solo.
Oh, I love Solo, and this is, like, the hottest Star Wars take of them all. I think Solo's my favorite of the new films.
I had Chris Sorrentino on the show recently, and he said Solo's one of his favorite Star Wars movies ever.
I would agree with him.
It's fun as shit.
I think people, like, there's a certain context to it that either people, like, don't want to accept or are, like, so into the lore of Star Wars that they don't want to, like, give it a chance.
Or they're so butthurt over The Last Jedi that they're like, fuck this franchise now.
To me, like, Solo, the reason I love it so much is that it represents, like, the type of movie it is caught me so off guard, because I was expecting it to be very lore heavy on Han Solo, which, yeah, there was a little of that to be expected, but it was kind of just like a fun heist movie.
It was an adventure
in the world of Star Wars. And yeah, it's like, I want, if they're going to do these side movies, that's what I want them to be. Yeah. Like, just fun little low stakes adventures.
Yeah, exactly. So why not give us, instead of the Cassian Andor show, why not give us like a show about Kira being the apprentice of Darth Maul and like them on Dathomir and like shit like
that.
Like,
a smuggler show.
Well, they were supposed to way back when, before the Disney deal happened. Lucas was working on a show like that, wasn't he?
Was it, or was that the
maybe that was a game. Yeah.
Star Wars 1313.
Right. It was a game. Yeah. Yeah, give us look, will I watch it? Of course I fucking will, cuz I'm a fucking idiot. But I'm not excited. Hell, I'd even be more excited for another Rogue One character. Like, give me a show about America's favorite gay couple in a galaxy far, far away.
Yeah, give me a Donnie Yen show.
Yeah, how about them together? One's blind, one's not. They're both gay and live in Star Wars. I'd love that. That's all the news. Let's take a, if you don't mind moving, let's mosey on over to Trailer Corner.
Oh, let's do it. Let's go over to the Trailer Corner.
Okay. Oh, wait, there's a little child facing the corner. Blair Witch style. So
you gotta get rid of him.
Yeah, no, that's actually a prop I bought.
Oh, okay. It's like three men and a baby.
Yeah. Oh God, that scared me so much as a kid. The fucking cardboard cutout of three men and a baby.
I remember there being so many like before YouTube, when people would watch stuff on Newgrounds.
Oh God,
and there'd be a bunch of Flash videos. I was obsessed with all these Flash videos that were like. Stuff like creepy things in movies, like
creepy album
covers, and that's one that would like always show up in these stupid videos.
Yeah, so stupid.
It would be like, look what's in the corner. It's like the little kid.
He was a boy that jumped out a window and died.
Yeah,
and then he's a ghost. It's like actually that was a set, and clearly one of the characters is an ad exec, so it's clearly something to do with a marketing campaign.
Yeah,
but anyway. So, True Detective Season 3.
Yeah.
They took a break from Season 2 because Season 2 was not very loved. And I think it was smart that they took a break. So, the star of Season 3 of True Detective is Mahershala Ali.
Ah.
Who you know as Cottonmouth from Luke Cage. And he was in Moonlight. He was the best part of Moonlight. He played Juan. And the trailer looks a lot like Season 1. The thing with I love Season 1, and a lot of people love Season 1, because it was this weird, like, noir, but also gothic. Like, there was a cult in it, and, like, satanic shit, and it was, like, it straddled the line between, like, realism and magical realism. Like, you didn't quite know if there was actual, like, supernatural shit going on or not. And then Season 2 was a kind of interesting noir story, but the killer was not spooky.
No.
Like, a lot of the vibe of the first season wasn't there.
No, and this has the vibe of the first season.
Yeah, and what's interesting is this isn't a murder. It's two kids get kidnapped.
Okay.
And he becomes obsessed his whole life with what happened.
Yeah, because in the trailer, they do something interesting where, like, three-fourths of the way through it, they time jump.
And he's an old man.
And he's an old man. And it's like, whoa, what? Like,
that's
the kind of interesting shit that was missing from two.
Right, like, just like season one, the trailer begins with him, like, a little bit older, talking about this case, narrating it, I guess. And then we see him working the case, and he looks very young. And then at some point, he has this statement where he's like, my mind is full of holes, there's puzzle pieces that are gone. And then we see him old, like, very old, and it's like, oh, shit, like, this looks like a real mind fuck. Like, which is what you want from that show.
Yeah, I don't, you can get rid of season two.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't hate season two, but
it just didn't have, like, if you're going to do an anthology show like this, where every season's different, it's got to have some kind of continuity, and this didn't have it.
Well, you know what it is? What made True Detective season one exciting was its aesthetic. Not its story, not its characters, not its plot, but its very cool vibe.
Yeah.
And it's very difficult to sequelize a vibe. You know what I mean? Because season two had all of this, supposedly all the same elements as season one. You got detectives, you got a long story, it takes place over time, blah, blah, blah. But that sort of spooky gothic nature was gone, and that was a lot of the charm. And this looks good. It looks beautiful, just like the first two seasons looked. I'm excited about it.
Yeah, looks good. Looking forward to it.
And he's just such a great actor. And I like that it's just one cop, because season one had two cops, and then season three had like nine.
Yeah, now they're like, let's pair it back.
Yeah, let's just, we need one true detective.
Yeah.
Vox Lux.
Yeah, that was a weird trailer.
Starring Natalie Portman as Staten Madonna, Islander.
I guess.
She studied the Staten Island accent.
Really?
Yeah, she's doing a Staten Island accent. Kind of a little bit.
Interesting.
I could see it.
She's clearly trying to be Madonna in it, though. There's no getting around it.
See, I thought Gaga, but you also make sense, Madonna.
Well,
but,
with the accent and just, like, the way she acts, it's very Madonna-like.
But what's interesting is it's clearly about a movie. It's a movie about a pop star, but the trailer's very weird and artsy, and it doesn't really let on what the story is.
Yeah, I don't know. I watched it twice, and I'm like, is this like a rise and fall kind of thing? But then, like, there's guys with guns running around.
Yeah, I can tell you what I know outside the trailer, what I read in a synopsis. Natalie Portman's character is involved in a national tragedy, maybe 9/11. Mm-hmm. And they have a memorial service, I guess, on TV. And she sings a song, or she sings, like, the national anthem. Mm-hmm. Because, like, she almost...
she was involved in
it. Right, because she was involved in it, or somebody did she love died. And she sings it so well that they make her into a star.
Oh.
And then it's about, like, her weird life as, like, a public figure and singing star, but connected to this weird national tragedy.
So she's, like, thrown into, like, this political intrigue, kind of.
Yeah, and I think there are people with guns. I wonder if, like, in the end, like, she's involved in, like, some terrorism or something.
I feel like this could be really, really good, or just, like, completely go off the rails.
Well, if it's, like, super-duper nail-on-the-nose, isn't consumerism bad, like, kind of, like, thing,
yeah,
then it'll be bad. But if it's just got, like, a cool kind of, like, I don't know, P.T. Anderson vibe or whatever, I think it could be very cool. I think that she's great. I think that she's underrated. I think a lot of people don't like her. They think she's, like, too stiff.
Mm.
But I think, you know, she had a really good thing recently where she was talking at, I don't know if it was the women's rally or what, but she was talking about her public persona and why she acts, her whole life she's always acted so, like, mature and dignified. Because her first movie,
she was the queen. She was Queen Amidala.
Right, right. She won't sign the treaty.
No.
No, one of her first movies, if not her first movie, was The Professional, which is a movie that sexualizes her as a child.
Yeah.
And she said right away she started getting disgusting letters from men, like, I want to rape you, blah, blah, blah. And
imagine if the internet was big when that was...
Oh, my God. So she basically, like, from a very young age was like, I'm going to be a little bit... I'm going to keep my private life to myself.
Yeah.
And that's kind of the thing. She hasn't lived in public. Like, we know very little, but we know her husband. We know she has kids. Like, she was on that internet show, Hot Ones, where you eat hot wings.
Yeah.
And she was really fun and funny. And I was like, oh, wow, she seems like a cool, normal person. So...
Well, I don't know if we could tell it. There's nothing to this story, but you met Natalie Portman.
I...
Kind of.
Yes. I was working in a place. I was working as a... intern on this, like, little independent movie, which I believe never came out. And I was working in an office in Manhattan where the whole top floor was the Weinstein Company.
Uh-oh.
You heard of them, right? and anyway, we were in one office, and the office next door was her and some editor. Because she wasn't even doing anything professional. She was making a film for her family, like some sort of, like, holiday film, mm-hmm, whatever. And anyway, she would come in every day with her dog, and she had a really cute dog. So one day I bumped into her, and but there was a buzz all around that she was there. Like, even other celebrities were like, because I met some other celebrities, and people were like, oh, Natalie Portman's here. And one day I just bumped into her, and her dog was adorable. And I was like, oh, what a cute dog. And she was like, oh, her name is whatever. And I didn't even hear the name because my heart was beating so fast, I could hear my heartbeat in my ears. I couldn't believe that I was talking to Natalie Portman, and she was talking to me. And I sort of bent, I said, can I pet it? And she's like, yeah. So I bent down and pet her dog. And then I said, have a good weekend. And then after that, the most I ever said to her was, hi, have a good weekend. That was basically it. Is it the highlight of my life? Yes. So the other trailer we watched is... The Christmas Chronicles,
yeah,
a Netflix holiday film starring
Kurt Russell. This is another trailer that I watched several times.
Was it because it was so awesome?
Yeah, it was hard to, like, form an opinion on. It was such a weird trailer. It's almost like a throwback.
Well, yeah, because we meet Santa, and then it does the classic 90s trailer thing where it's like, Papa's got a brand new bag. It's like, this ain't your daddy's Santa Claus.
Yeah, exactly. It felt very 90s. It felt like tailor-made for the millennials that they're
aiming for.
It almost, there were some parts of it where, honestly, I got like a Blues Brothers vibe.
Oh, yeah.
Because it's like, Santa's evading the police and jumping off police trucks.
It looks like he has a moment where he sings in a jail cell.
Oh, yeah, he's singing in a jail cell with some James Brown playing.
The little girl says, "Can you say ho, ho, ho?" And he goes, I don't say that.
That's a myth. But then, like, there's these freakish, like, 3D CGI, like, elves.
I like them. It's weird that they're furry, but I was like, I got to be honest with you, Ben.
They look like the Grums from Tim and Eric.
I'm on board. Does it look stupid as fuck? Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Oh, I'm totally on board. Let's make no mistake about that.
You know why? Because I just like Kurt Russell. I think he's... Even though he's a conservative and I don't like him in real life, he's just a fascinating performer. I want to see him as Santa Claus.
This movie's very unabashed in what it's trying to do.
Yeah.
So I have to, like, give it props.
Yeah.
Like, it knows exactly what it wants to be, and it's going to pull it off. There's no... Unlike Vox Lux, where there's, like, a big mystery about what's going to happen.
Yeah.
There's no mystery about what's going to happen here. They're going to save the day.
Right.
Santa's going to have a good old time.
Oh, what's funny is the conceit for it is the exact same conceit from Elf, where, like, there's Christmas magic is waning because people don't care. And
there's one point where he's got, like, a minor, and he's like, there's not enough Christmas magic going on.
It's like, we did this in Elf, but who gives a shit? They're Christmas movies. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Hallmark makes 30 of them a year, and they all star Alicia
Wayne. Okay. Well, there we go.
Is that Dean Cain?
Dean Cain, ever noted shitbag conservative.
Is that true?
He's a big conservative.
No, I didn't need to know that about...
The real Superman.
The real Superman. Because when you think Superman, you think Dean Cain, don't you?
Dean
Cain. All right. I think it's we should take a little break.
Okay.
Papa's got a brand new bag.
Dusty mesa, a looming shadow grows, hidden in the branches of the poison creoso. She twines his spines up slowly towards the boiling sun, and when I touched her skin, my fingers ran with blood.
And we're back. Welcome back to PCMC. I'm Mike Bongiorno. I'm here today with good friend Vin Forte.
Hey.
Listen to Pop Culture Man Children PCMC on Stitcher, Spotify, Apple Music, or Apple Podcasts, whatever the fuck you call it now, and Google Play.
Yeah.
Also follow us on... at Pop Culture Man Children on Instagram. Vin.
Dude, follow me on Twitter.
Follow Vin. Vin, yeah. Give us your handle.
At Mighty Vin.
No underscores involved?
No underscores involved.
At Mighty Vin,
folks. I ain't no Russian bot.
Welcome to the chill sesh. What have you been chilling with?
What have I been chilling with?
What have you been reading? What have you been watching? What's going on? Hey, what's in your DVD player right now?
Oh my god, my DVD player.
Well, what's in your standard DVD player,
Mr. 2002?
If God exists, when you go to heaven at the pearly gates, what would he say to you? I have a lot of DVDs. Papa's got a brand new bag.
Imagine he said that. Like, oh my god, it's God.
Dun-dun-dun-dun.
What if you did get to heaven, and it's revealed that God is Santa?
God is just Santa, but played by the ghost of Jim Belushi or John Belushi. Jim Belushi is sadly still alive.
Remember when Jim Belushi had that tour where it was like Jim Belushi's Real Men comedy tour?
Oh yeah, Oh boy.
Real men, real Chicago men. So what? Telling you comedy.
So what Jim Belushi movies have you been watching?
K-9.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. Very good.
What's that one where he's like a principal?
Oh, oh! I think it's just called The Principal, isn't it?
Is it?
Isn't it The Principal? I think so.
Where he comes into the school.
It's like a bad school.
Listen, you punks.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I think it's The Principal.
There were a bunch of those. There was like a small window of time in the late 80s, early 90s where there was this huge trope of like nothing movies, but they were all about like grizzled white guy gets positioned as like a principal or teacher of a school.
Yeah, where did that come from? Is it because of Lean On Me? The success of Lean On Me?
I guess. But it was just like, yeah, it was like, listen, punks, we're going to clean this school up. And they're like, yeah, fuck you. And then and then he wins him over at the end because, like,
of course
he's
he
like,
does.
I know these kids like basketball. So he shows up like a basketball game.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And they
yeah.
learn he could dunk. They're like, whoa, you cool, Teach. And, like,
you dunked me.
You dunked me, Teach. That's cool.
You and put your nuts in my face.
I got a teabag by Jim.
It would be funny if he was Jim Belushi in the movie. Like the new principal, Jim Belushi. Well, according to Jim.
That's one of my favorite. Jeff Garland does a whole bit where he's like, you know, it doesn't make sense. According to Jim. Not even the show, just the phrase.
According to Jim.
What does that mean?
It's not a pun.
According to Jim what? What the fuck according to Jim?
Yeah, it's one of those things that sounds like a pun, but it isn't a pun.
Oh, right.
It's not like Kevin Can Wait.
Oh, God. Was that the Kevin...
That's the new Kevin James show.
Is it still on?
Yeah, I think they killed the first wife and brought back Leah
Remini. I was
going
to say,
Remini.
That's the show where they tried to make magic strike twice.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That Remini magic.
Yeah, if it is canceled, yeah, they should have brought back... Jerry Stiller and Patton Oswalt.
I know, like, just eventually just make it the old show again.
Yeah, like, one day they just turn it on, and it's like, hey, why does it say King and Queen?
Like, it's just my eyes are getting weary. My back is getting tight. So, we were talking before about Night of the Living Dead, and you and I had a conversation a couple weeks ago about the most fucked up franchise continuities, because we were talking about the new Halloween,
yeah,
which I fucking hated, and how the new Halloween is weird because you've got Halloween 1 and 2, and then you got Halloween 3, Season of the Witch, which is not involved at all.
Right.
Then there's Halloween 4 and 5 and 6, which is about Jamie, the daughter of...
Yeah, and this like Celtic voodoo magic.
Right, right, right. The Man in Black is there. And
yeah.
But then they undo the Jamie storyline. And
they go back to Halloween 2.
Right, with H2O. And now Jamie Lee Curtis is alive, and she doesn't have a daughter named Jamie. She has a son named Josh Hartnett. And then there was a sequel to that where Jamie Lee Curtis's character died again. And then
right.
two Rob Zombie movies called Halloween and Halloween
Which
2.
Which I loved.
I love them too. People hate them. With Halloween 2, why the Rob Zombie Halloween 2, and I always go, Rob Zombie's Halloween 2, the sequel to the remake, not the remake of the sequel. And then now we have
Halloween.
So there's three movies called Halloween.
And then they've already said they're probably going to make another one.
Of course, because this one made money.
Yeah.
And in this one, she doesn't have Josh Hartnett or a daughter named Jamie. She has... oh, fuck, what's her name?
Characters that are so uninteresting.
Judy Greer.
Name. Yeah.
Judy Greer as her daughter, and she's alive again. And so it's like Enter the Spider-Verse, Enter the Halloween-iverse.
Yeah.
It's just like, you know, like the next movie, like a portal needs to open, and like Josh Hartnett needs to jump out and be like, Mom, Mom! And she doesn't know who he is, and he's like, I'm from another world.
God, I remember when H2O came out feeling like it was such a big deal.
Well, it was written by Kevin, I wrote Scream Williamson. He was crushing it with the Dawson's Creek. And
yeah.
You know, I don't know if you've noticed this, but it seems like lately on the YouTubes, this could just be my algorithm, but I've been seeing a lot lately on YouTube, like making of specials of old movies. Like they unearthed that Empire Strikes Back one from a million years ago.
And, okay.
And then I saw one the other day that just popped up in my feed about Gremlins. Hmm. And I realized that's a thing that we used to have that they don't have now, because now it's all just a guy in Silicon Valley in front of a computer, where for us, it was exciting because you'd see puppets and you'd see them with wires. You'd see them trying to pull shit off.
Well, it's also, I feel like they could show that stuff now, but that it's a lot more, it's a lot easier to keep things closed off.
Yeah, yeah, but
because they could show like the making of movies,
but a lot of them don't have that practical shit anymore.
Yeah,
like remember, like back in the '80s, it was all about movie magic, and it's like, oh, you wanna, I know what you're talking about
now, like where they would go to the actual like puppet studio,
right? Like you see how they make things work, whereas now it's just like we make it work because we fucking film it all in green screen, and then some dude draws it in.
That's true, because it used to be you'd have to hire a bunch of different.
Yeah, there was companies, artists and artisans. You get
your guys in those different.
They'd show you places. How they did explosions and shit.
Yeah. For the Twilight Zone movie, and then you'd have to recant it.
Oh, boy. Ugh. Oh, boy. That's available on YouTube if you want to see that.
I know.
So, okay. What are the fucked up franchises? Halloween? The Conners? No, really, because you've got Roseanne, and then the last couple seasons of Roseanne has
was dead.
Right, and Roseanne has a fourth kid, and Jackie has a kid.
Yeah.
And they get rich, but then in the very last episode, the finale, they're like, oh, I was never really rich, it was a fantasy, and Dan's dead.
And Roseanne came back.
And Dan was back alive, and they also didn't count the last couple seasons, because the fourth kid wasn't there.
Right.
And Jackie's kid wasn't there. And
one of those kids, didn't they say, like, oh, he's lost at sea or something?
They make a vague reference, like, as a joke once, but then it's never referred to again. And now that the character Roseanne's supposed to be dead, you'd think he'd be around. Little Jerry Garcia Connor was his name. And now you've got the Connors, which is just, like, such a bizarre show. It's like, I've been watching it going, what the fuck is this? Why are we doing this? Like, in the first episode, they're sad, they're mourning because the matriarch died. But then in every episode since then, it's been normal. And it's like, so life just goes on here? It's just like come on now. I don't know.
Wasn't like in the world of the show, she died like addicted to pills or something?
Yeah, she died because she was, she had an injury that they didn't have medical coverage to take care of. So she got addicted to opioids. Fun.
Good shit.
Fun comedy.
Yeah, fun. Fun comedy.
What other franchises can you think of?
Highlander.
Oh, that's a fucking... That's a classic one. Because if you've never seen Highlander, Highlander 1 is like mystical and... It's like a fantasy film. And then Highlander 2, what do?
They reveal that the immortal... Because in the first one, it's a bunch of immortals and they have to cut each other's heads off.
Sure.
Because there can only be one, and they're fighting for the prize. You don't know what the prize is.
Right.
There's a lot of it kept vague, but, like, it's a good vague. It's like, here's everything you need to know.
Right.
And there's some prize that they're after. It's like a mortal power or whatever. So whoever's the last one to cut another one of the immortals' heads off gets all knowledge in the universe.
Who wants to live forever?
And the soundtrack is by Queen, and it's amazing.
Yeah.
And, So it's like, great, that's all I need for this movie. Then the sequel completely undoes that by saying not only are there more immortals, but that the immortals came from a planet called Zeist.
Yep.
Hundreds of years ago, where there was like a war raging on.
Fooled you. It's not a fantasy. It's aliens. A sci-fi. Aliens.
And that, like, in the future, Connor McCloud uses the knowledge that he gained from the Quickening to put a shield over the Earth to stop UV rays from, like, giving everyone cancer or something.
Oh, wow.
But then that backfires because, like, all the crops die. And now we're in, like, this Blade Runner world. And John C. McGinley's in it as a big businessman who's evil.
Oh, right.
And Sean Connery comes back, even though he has no business coming back. And he sacrifices himself.
Ramirez.
Ramirez, yes.
Yeah.
And then Connor McCloud saves the day. And then in the third one, they completely skip over two.
They just forget two.
Although, as an addendum to all of this, two was famously... edited after the fact and re-released several times as the Renegade cut, which is the only cut you can get, where they tried to retcon a lot of the retcon, where instead of, like, in the opening scene where they're on another planet, instead of saying, you know, on the planet Zeist, it says, like, Earth hundreds of years ago.
Okay.
So it tries to do that. It adds more special effects because there was bad green screen and bad composite shots.
Okay.
Like, really bad composite shots in the movie. So they go, like, I've never, like, if you watch a version of the movie now, you'll legitimately say, this movie looks gorgeous. Like, the special effects look gorgeous.
Uh-huh.
But it's just, like, all this work for a shitty, like, they reshot. They shot, like, a couple new scenes.
Just
and, like,
to make
reshot old scenes.
Three work?
No, just to make two work.
Yeah, but I'm saying just to make it so we can count it.
Yeah.
Because otherwise
three,
you have to
but then
not
three
count
throws
it.
Two out anyway.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and so three basically, people call three, the Highlander 3, the apology. Because it's basically, we're taking two out of the equation entirely. And now, yeah, so Mario Van Peebles has been underground for hundreds of years.
Sure.
And I forget the name of his character, but he's like the one Highlander who is still remaining. Like, we just forgot about him. So once he's recovered and makes himself known, Connor McLeod loses the quickening and he has to fight this new guy.
Okay.
And it's basically just like a retread of the first movie. Like, there's like this, like, pretty much the same exact beats.
But isn't there a TV series too?
Then there was a TV series.
Now, is that in continuity, or does that do its own thing again?
That's a big maybe, because the TV show happens, and who starred in the TV series? I'm blanking on his name, but there was a different guy in the TV series.
Sure.
And he played Duncan MacLeod, who was related to Connor MacLeod, played by Christopher Lambert.
The protagonist of the movie.
And in the TV show, the first episode establishes Connor MacLeod makes a cameo helping out Duncan. So there's a
there you go, folks.
So people are like, oh, it's connected. But in the first episode, they also establish that there's Highlanders just fucking everywhere.
And so it's not that there can only be one.
It's that, like, there are Highlanders out there and some are good and some are bad. And we need to make sure that the bad ones don't get the prize.
Okay.
So it's almost, so you kind of get the sense in the show that, like, we don't have to kill everyone. But, like, we just need to make sure that the bad guys are all dead so that they can't ever get immortal power. So then at that point, you're like, okay, it's pretty well accepted that either the show happens sometime before the first Highlander, even though it looks like it's from the 90s and the original Highlander is from the 80s, but whatever, we'll take that at face value, or it's in a separate universe. Even with those two conceits, then they did a movie called Highlander. Oh God, I'm blanking on it. But it's the next movie in the series where they
Endgame? Is it Endgame?
Highlander Endgame? Yes, and that stars both Connor and Duncan.
Sure.
And in it, there's like a new guy who comes, a new evil guy who wants to take over the world, and he wants to kill both of them. And then Duncan kills Connor to get his power, and then absorbs all of his power and beats the bad guy, who is played by Bruce Payne from Dungeons and Dragons. And at that point, that was supposed to end the series. And then they did Highlander: The Source, which came out years later in, like, 2004.
Yeah,
which was a Sci-Fi Channel made-for-TV movie that looked nothing like the aesthetic of the show or the movie. It was, like, post-apocalyptic and told of, like, what even was the fucking plot line of that movie? Where, like, they're looking for, where it's not just, like, oh, you get the infinite power. It's, like, there's an actual source of the limitless power, and they have to go find it. And then, but it just looks really bad.
So every movie and every show just would constantly change the rules.
Every movie that went going forward kind of, like, contradicted some huge plot point in whatever came before it.
Okay. I only ever saw part one, and I remember I liked part one.
Yeah, one is a legitimately great movie.
You got Clancy Brown, right?
Clancy Brown as the Kurgan. It was great.
Yeah. Yeah, I that's the only one I've ever seen.
It's the only one you need to see. I don't know why I've seen all of them.
You're a Highland fan.
I you know what it is, because when you ask other people who are into the Highlander series, they'll tell you the exact same thing. It's like there's stuff in the movies floating around,
yeah,
That's interesting. But it's just there's too much bad shit going around it.
Yeah.
There's too much. Like, you could look at, like, the fourth movie and go, oh, there's some really good, like, swordplay scenes in this movie. Like, Donnie Yen, who we were just talking about, who's in Rogue One, is in Highlander Endgame. And he's really badass in it. He's great. He plays like a henchman. But then, like, near the end of the movie, there's a scene where Donnie Yen, like, kills himself.
Okay.
Because he doesn't want to fight. And it's like, why? And, like, that's never explained.
Sounds like a great series.
Yeah, sounds great.
So do you write fanfic? Do you write Highlander fanfic?
You can go to my DeviantArt. It's easily one of my favorite bad franchises. Everyone's got a favorite bad franchise.
That's a really interesting question. What's my favorite bad franchise? Well, bad in the sense that the franchise itself doesn't hold together, like what we've been talking about.
Yeah, or like a franchise that you're into that you know is bad, but like there's some redeeming quality to it that you either just enjoy laughing at. Because like with the Highlander series, like I definitely know that most of the movies in it are bad, but they're fun to like laugh at and deconstruct.
Well, I think maybe for me, because I've been into this more lately, it's the Ninja Turtles movies.
Okay.
Because that's another one where
I would put that in that category.
Because it's just like the fucking, the effects get worse. The first three are kind of a series, but the effects get worse and worse. Mm-hmm. And then you've got an animated film, and then you've got the two ones. Yeah, the two Michael Bay ones. And then you've got like four or five, they just keep rebooting the cartoon. Mm-hmm. And some of it's bad. Some of it's just plain bad. Like, I like the Michael Bay movies. We saw the second one together.
Yeah.
But, like, we went in like, this is a bad movie about turtles.
Yeah.
And that's what I got. That's what
exactly.
I bought.
Exactly. I got a bad movie made by, like, 15 different Chinese companies.
Yes, yes. Well, that's Michael Bay's whole thing. I guess turtles. Or you know what? Maybe Superman. That's a series that's a lot of bad. Because Superman 1 and 2 are good, but flawed. 3 and 4 are terrible, but I like them. And then you've got Superman Returns, which also does the H2O thing of let's not count 3 and 4.
Yeah.
But also we've got cell phones now, so it's weird that we're supposed to be...
It's supposed to be like right after 2.
Right, because it doesn't make fucking sense that the timeline makes no sense. And then I don't like Man of Steel.
Yeah. Yeah, Man of Steel is not...
No, it's not
good. I know it has its fans. But.
Yeah. So I guess that's one. Because I like Superman so much. Like, sometimes I'm like, I'm in the mood to watch Superman IV, The Quest for Peace.
Yeah.
Even though I know it's a fucking horrible movie.
Yeah. I need my Lenny Luthor.
Sometimes it's just like, I don't know. It's like comfort food.
No, it is. That's absolutely how it is.
Yeah.
Especially Superman 3. Like, I could watch Superman 3 all day.
I know. Superman 3 is fun. Yeah. You know why? Because there are elements that are consistent. Like, Christopher Reeve is always good. He was always good as the Man of Steel. Terminator. There's a fucking series that...
I would put Terminator in there.
Because that's got, like, what? 1, 2 fit together, and then 3 kind of doesn't. And then you've got Salvation, which is like trying to be a start of a new trilogy but failed, so it doesn't go anywhere.
The Sarah Connor Chronicles.
Right, which is also its own continuity. Then you've got Genesis, which I like, but a lot of people hate.
Genesis I didn't think was terrible.
I thought it was a good, like, if you count that as part 3 instead of actual part 3.
Yeah.
I like that.
Part 3 I didn't mind so much. Like, it's definitely like a huge step down from 2.
Right.
Like, there's no getting around it. But if you just want, like, a fun action movie, like, there's good set pieces in it.
3 more bores me than anything else. It's not terrible. I think Salvation is kind of terrible.
Salvation, yeah.
It's trying so hard to be, like, intellectual or whatever the fuck.
It's, like, dour and brown. A lot of browns in it.
And now there's a new one happening, which I don't know where the fuck that fits into anything.
Yeah, like, isn't Linda Hamilton in this new one?
Yeah.
I don't know where she's been. Like.
So that's another series. I guess you could also say, you could make the argument that the X-Men series doesn't make any sense, but there's also like some shenanigans in there where they try to explain why they rewrite things.
Yeah, I think X-Men movies are kind of on the right track now. Though again, with this Disney deal, who the fuck knows what they're doing.
I've liked all the new X-Men movies. Apocalypse isn't great, but the first two are great.
Yeah.
I'm excited about Phoenix.
I'm excited about the New Mutants.
Yes, yes. Although that might be because they've reshot that and...
Yeah, that's gone through a whole...
What else are they doing with the X-Men? Isn't there a show that's tied into X-Men? Well, there's Legion. Well,
yeah, there's Legion, and then there's The Gifted.
Right, I haven't seen The Gifted.
I haven't seen any of The Gifted either, but I know the first season of Legion was really good.
Yeah, I liked the first season of Legion, but it was one of those shows where I liked it, and I was like, all right, I'm done. Like, season two was coming up, and I was like, I don't remember season one.
Season two, I didn't care to watch it.
Yeah, I do that a lot. I'm a big fan of, like, one and done.
Yeah, and I've also noticed that a lot of these shows, like, blow it when they do multiple seasons.
Yeah.
I feel like a lot of the CW shows, as good as, like, the characters are, they need to do, like, way less episodes. Like, they have the opposite problem of like, the Marvel Netflix shows.
Yeah.
Like, I love The Flash.
Mm-hmm.
I think the first season of The Flash, honestly, is one of the best first seasons of any TV show I've seen in the past 10 years.
Okay.
It's very... You've seen the first season of The Flash.
Right? Not the whole thing. I saw the first three episodes. And okay. I liked it, but I just kind of... Like, you know, I fell off.
Okay. But, like, it does a very good job of not stringing you along for something that, on a regular network, is, like, 26 episodes. You feel like you're always moving forward.
Yeah,
I found that, like, very refreshing.
And but it's hard because they do so many episodes. Good.
But then, like, they couldn't replicate it. Like, they couldn't do it again for the second season.
Well, it's because they make too many episodes. I mean, that's the thing. So you've got to have Freak of the Weeks.
Right. So it's like you end up impressing me with one really good season, and then it's like, well, what do we do next? It's like, well, we just blew everything.
Right. I watched the first season of Supergirl, and I really liked it. But I haven't watched any more since then.
Yeah.
And I watched the first two seasons of Arrow. So I've seen none of Legends of Tomorrow, and since I dropped off, like, I know every year they do crossovers.
The crossovers have been really good.
Yeah.
Like, I'll skip out on some episodes and then, like, I'll check the crossovers and, like, the crossovers.
Well, right now they're doing like Elseworlds, right? So it's all sorts of wacky nonsense.
Yeah, like those crossovers get it so right compared to, like, what DC does in the theaters. Cuz the crossovers are literally like, let's just get everyone together and have fun. And play to each other's strengths.
Yeah.
Whereas the DC movies are just like... Ugh.
But you know what's really great? Titans. The DC Universe. Finally, five episodes into season one, they all are in their outfits. They're all fucking fighting together as a team. And I gotta tell you, I loved it.
You like Titans?
I enjoy Titans. I enjoy the DC Universe. Come at me.
Are you excited for Aquaman coming out next month already?
No, I'm not. I'm not excited for Aquaman.
I feel like they're trying as hard as they can to slip Aquaman right out of the gate.
Think they're trying to just be like, hey, this isn't, don't worry about the Justice League. Like, yeah, this is like, just here, its own
just,
thing.
Just watch it, please.
Yeah. Please? Please?
Shazam's coming. Just watch this.
I know. All right, let's take a break, and then we'll come back and talk about our obsessions.
Yeah, let's do it.
We're back. Welcome back to PCMC. I'm Mike Bongiorno. I'm here with Mr. Vin Forte.
Hey.
How are you, Vin?
Good.
Vin, welcome to Obsessions.
Oh.
What are you obsessed with right now?
I was always a big Doctor Who fan, but when it goes off the air for a while, I sort of tend to put it to bed for a while.
Yeah.
And now that the new season's back, I've, like, dug back into it.
Yeah.
I'm watching a lot of, like, 80s episodes.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
So you go back. You like the old stuff.
Oh, I love the old stuff. I remember watching the old stuff when I was a kid on PBS. They would import a lot of BBC programming. So I would watch on like this tiny TV in my house. They had like Mr. Bean.
Sure.
And then like Doctor Who on like really late at night.
Tiny TVs are the way you're meant to watch BBC programming.
Absolutely.
Who's your favorite old doctor? Pre the 2005 reboot.
Honestly, like, there's doctors. Okay, here are the doctors that are, like, my top tier.
Okay.
Two.
Okay.
Like, going sort of in order. Five.
Interesting.
I like four a lot. Four is classic.
He was there the longest.
He was there the longest.
The most iconic.
But just, it took me a while to get into him.
Mm-hmm.
So, two, five. Should I put 8 on this list? I really like 8 because I'm into the audio adventures.
Right. 8, if you don't know, 8 exists. He was in one movie in between the time where the show wasn't on, but he has a lot of audio adventures.
Oh, yeah. He's still doing them.
Yeah, so.
And they're really, really good.
And comics and stuff. So, yeah, if you're into 8, that's fine.
Yeah, 8's good.
He's part of the canon.
Yeah. 9, 10. And then I think that's kind of where the top tier ends for me.
Okay.
I don't think Matt Smith, Pierre Capaldi, or Jodie Whittaker have reached that echelon yet, even though I think they're really, really good.
Yeah, yeah.
It's sort of like I have my top tier, I have doctors who I think are very good, very, very good, and then just like doctors I don't like.
Who's a doctor you don't like?
6 I don't care for. Basically 6 and 7, I kind of don't care for. Even though I've warmed up to
Sylvester McCoy.
That's Colin Baker and Sylvester McCoy.
Right. Well, Colin Baker is the most disliked in general. He's like the one the consensus is nobody likes him.
Yeah. And Sylvester McCoy, like I've warmed up to him more recently.
Yeah.
Because I bought a bunch of his stories and like some of them are really good, but a lot of them are very much a product of their time.
Yeah, it's hard to. When we talk about what doctors are like, it's hard to separate them from the writers of that time.
Right, because some of the writers like really knew how to get the most out of like what they had available
right.
to
and
them.
And McCoy was like, the show was really tired at that point.
Yeah, that
like,
was...
Doesn't he like fight fucking like gingerbread men monsters and shit like that?
Yeah. Yeah, that was a point in the show where it was very much... Like, we have, like, our eyes are bigger than our mouths.
Yeah.
Where it's like, we've got these big, bold plans for the Seventh Doctor. We're really going to knock it out of the park. But we've only got, like, $5.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Wasn't the last episode of the original series involve, like Panther people?
Oh, God, I don't know. That whole last series, or season, as we'd call it in America, supposedly is very bad.
Yeah, well, no. The
I don't think you've ever seen any of it.
He's got two, and the first season was not very good, and played more towards like they really wanted to get kids back. So that's where you see
yeah.
like, the clowns and the fucking gingerbread monsters.
Yeah,
and then that still didn't work. So they were kind of just like, okay, do whatever you want. This show's probably gonna get canceled soon anyway.
Right.
So then they made him a little more like conniving and mature. And, like, that's the version of Sylvester McCoy's Doctor that I actually kind of like, where there's a really good, like, Dalek episode that he did,
mm-hmm.
where it's kind of just a lot of him, like, putting plans in motion and, like, blowing up the... That's the one where he blows up the Dalek's planet.
Oh, yeah, 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 yeah.
And it's like, yeah, that's kind of interesting. Like, why is he doing this? And then, of course, we never really find out why.
Right, right, because that was it.
Because that was it.
Yeah. All right, cool, cool. I am, as much as I love Doctor Who, I've got a TARDIS tattoo. I'm more in love with the new version. I have gone back. I've watched the first couple of stories from the very first Doctor. And I don't know if I've watched any stories from the second Doctor. But I've watched a good amount. The thing is, you don't want to, there's so much of it, and you don't want to go in order like the way we would do now with binging, because those episodes, it's really based on stories, because it was a serial, so one story could be anywhere between two like, episodes to six episodes too.
Yeah.
Didn't the fourth Most Doctor episodes, have one story that was a whole season, like the entire season was one story, or is that five?
No, that was Tom Baker. That was a whole season where it was like was like The Keys to Time or something.
Oh, I'm thinking, but wasn't there also a full season one with Five, the Trial of the Time Lord?
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
No, I don't know if that was the whole, if that was a whole season.
Who knows?
It was definitely like a couple episodes.
Yeah, yeah.
But yeah, like there, like the way the way we think of Doctor Who now is each season has like 10 or 12 episodes. And some of them are two-parters, most of them are self-contained, and they're an hour long. But the way it used to be is that most episodes took a whole month, and they would be a half hour each.
Yeah.
So it'd be like, tune in next week to see if the Doctor gets out of this jam.
Right,
so when they sell them on DVD and Blu-ray, I think now they're actually beginning to, they've started just this year to sell like whole seasons.
Yeah.
But the way it worked for like the past 15 years... was you would buy them by the story.
By story, right.
So, like, some episode or some stories would be, like, 8 episodes long.
Right.
So you're buying 8 episodes.
And that's the way the fans usually refer to them, by story.
Yeah, because it's tidy. It's a nice way to be like, oh, this is a really good Doctor.
And some stories are great and some stories aren't. So it's...
Yeah, so it's a good way to point people in, like, a good direction.
Yeah. Very cool, very cool. So... my current obsession is actually it's an art book that I bought at BookCon this year that, you know, you come home from BookCon with a big stack of books and, you know, I try to get through them all. But only recently I finally picked it. You know, I looked through it because it's an art book, but there was a lot of text in it too, but so I haven't read it. So I finally like read through it and the book is called Ghoulish.
Ooh.
And it's the work of...
Art of the Ghoulies.
It's no, close though. No toilets. It's Ghoulish, the Art of Gary Pullen.
Ooh.
Gary Pullen is mostly, all right, you would now know him because he does work with Mondo.
Okay.
So he does a lot of posters and he does a lot of record covers. But he also was the art director for the magazine Rue Morgue for a long time. And his stuff is all like... kooky and creepy and stuff like that. Like the cover of this beautiful book is this really cool illustration of Teen Wolf, where it's like a close up of Teen Wolf and he's got on the shades and in the shades you see like people dancing. So I really like this book. I liked. There's a Crypt Keeper.
Oh wow.
Yeah. You know what, Vin? Why don't you give this a look? This is a really cool book. I mean, this is the kind of thing that someone like me just eats up. I also have the Mondo art book. I love, you know, nostalgia and, you know, it's what this show is all about. I love the idea of contemporary artists around my age who will go back and make cool posters for older stuff.
Oh yeah, this guy does all the work for like when Shout Factory.
Yes, yes.
Stuff.
Exactly.
They get him.
Yeah, he's done some amazing, amazing work. Sometimes he does like minimalism. This book is also where I learned about the insane Canadian children's show, The Hilarious House of Dr. Frightenstein.
Yeah.
All right. This show, which I can't believe I've never heard of, Dr. Frightenstein is, imagine like a cross between Universal Monsters and like Sesame Street, but it's Canadian, so it has no budget. And it's like a kid's show, but the lead character is Dracula, but he's got like a blue face and he's got like an Igor and like they like throw to cartoons and like, but then there's also like really racist stuff, like because the main character, the main guy who's a comedian, he also plays like a Fu Manchu style a monk who, of course, he's doing a terrible Asian accent. You know, it's got like laughing style, like groovy kind of jokes. It's just bananas. Go on YouTube and look up The Hilarious House of Dr. Frankenstein. It's terrible, but it's got a really cool aesthetic if you're into shit like that. And that was, I guess, a big inspiration for this guy. Yeah, I love all these. I don't collect the Mondo posters and stuff, but I like books like this because it's like I'm not someone who like collects shit and puts it on the wall too much. Like, I do that with toys, but I don't really have a poster collection. But I love an art book like this. Oh, actually, he did the Babadook, like the actual normal poster like that you've seen for Babadook. Like, he did that. So he's done some really cool shit. And that's what
notable
I'm obsessed
gay
with
icon,
right now.
The Babadook.
Absolutely. My favorite was someone online was like, I'm Baba Shook. I've never read Rue Morgue, by the way. But it's like this, it's this generation's Fangoria.
Okay.
I like the Babadook.
I like the Babadook. I like that queer culture co-opted the Babadook before like the alt-right could get to him.
Oh, can you imagine them with Babadook pins?
Like, I like that that's become a thing now. Like, they, like Antifa has very quickly co-opted Gritty.
Who's Gritty again?
Gritty is the new mascot that they unveiled for the Philadelphia Flyers.
That's fantastic.
And he's just a big, stupid-looking, frumpy, Muppet-looking thing. But, like, they've co-opted him, and now there's, like, all these Antifa rallies where it's, like, Gritty says go home, like, pictures of Gritty, like, punching Nazis.
That's awesome. That's what Antifa needs.
It needs.
We should like get everybody. I was thinking today, like, because I was looking at the Doctor Who Reddit, and there's so much people who are like, "Oh, it's so liberal," and I'm like,
"What
listen,
is the show not liberal?"
Yeah, but it's like, listen, if you want to be that type of person, accept that there's no art for you. Like, go watch fucking Last Man Standing and fucking Kelsey Grammer movie. And shut the fuck up. All the artists give a shit about other people. That's what makes them artists.
Yeah, I hate this argument where they go like, oh, you know, you can't, there's nowhere you can go. The news is liberal. The art is, you know, everything I watch is liberal. It's like, well, maybe that says something about you.
Yeah, like, oh, Star Wars is so asshole. Liberal. It's like, it's about the downtrodden in a fucking, against an evil empire. Like, since when was it not fucking liberal?
Yeah. Well, like, I love these people that, and this has been recurring throughout my entire life, because I remember being a huge Star Trek fan, and also knowing people that were huge Star Trek fans, but, like, for vastly different reasons, where they were big into, like, the military aspect of Starfleet.
Which is what I hate, which is the thing I like the least about Star Trek.
Yeah, it's, like, a part of Star Trek that's there to be undermined.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, the whole point of Starfleet in most Star Trek stories is that Starfleet is up to no good, or like they're making a decision that is wrong and needs to be corrected.
Yeah. You know, I don't even know how we got on this. How we got on this topic? But anyway, so Ghoul. By the way, if you just want to check out this guy's art, it's he goes by the moniker Ghoulish, but it's Ghoulish Gary Pullen.
Ghoulish Gary Pullen.
Yeah. Vin, we did it.
Oh, man.
We did the news. We did the trailers. We
did it all.
So, thank you for listening to Pop Culture Man Children. We are on every Wednesday. We do a full episode, then a mini episode, which is the mini episode is always about one particular topic. Next week, we're going to talk about Doctor Who, the first four episodes of season 11, which is what we're on now. Yep. And you can listen to Vin's show
on the internet. Go to iTunes, Stitcher, wherever podcasts are.
All the places.
Free. Yeah.
All the places.
See it there. I'm doing that. I'm involved in a comedy show called The Special Fat Brett Davis.
Mm-hmm.
That airs Wednesday nights live at 11 p.m. in Manhattan on MNN. And then you can go YouTube, Special Fat Brett Davis. Look it up there. For new episodes that we're rolling out every week.
Fantastic. Way to go. And you know where to get us, Pop Culture Man Children, at Stitcher, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and of course, Google Play.
Ooh, the one everyone uses.
Absolutely. I am Mike Bongiorno. Let's go bye-bye. Go bye-bye.